Silicon Valley is rich source material for stories, but what is its actual history? From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech, demystifying the digital economy. I'm Jed Kim, in for Molly Wood. We're fascinated with tales of visionary entrepreneurs, trillion-dollar companies, the American tech success story. Foreign leaders have been keen to understand and replicate the innovation juggernaut that is Silicon Valley. But little has been written about the entirety of it, the economic ecosystem of Silicon Valley and how it evolved. Margaret O'Meara says Silicon Valley is a uniquely American product born from being at the right place at the right time. Her new book, The Code, offers a comprehensive history of the modern American tech industry dating back to the 1940s. So I asked her what she says so many people have asked her. What's the secret sauce?
You know, one of the secret ingredients is time. It's history. What we have now, the Silicon Valley of today, is the product of 75 years of history. It's a story of big government, incredible entrepreneurship, and technological advancement. The famous people you've heard of, these business leaders who kind of took their companies, broke out from the pack, and became really market-disrupting, market-defining companies. But it's also a cast of thousands of both technical and non-technical people who helped make the magic happen.
What are the parts that people pay too much attention to that you don't think warrant that, and why?
I think people pay too much attention to the think different, iconoclastic, this is a different place, these are special people. There is something to that. Like, this was a place that was off to the side of the main action, a little agricultural valley in Northern California, far away from Wall Street and Washington, far away from Boston, which was the original capital of high tech. And that isolation kind of created this really distinctive community. I call it a Galapagos of these not only technologists, but also sort of specialized business services, venture capital being one. There's this services industry side, marketing, legal, investment, that is a real part, important part of the Silicon Valley story, and that often doesn't get emphasized.
What is the ingredient that people most overlook?
I think the ingredient that they overlook is the public sector side, not just defense. Things like investment in R&D, but also in education, in K-12 education and higher education, both public and private. You know, this first generation of people who come out to Silicon Valley in the 50s, they were young men with engineering degrees, but not many connections. You know, the people who were Ivy League graduates who went to prep school, who had fathers and uncles, you know, who had, you know, big fancy jobs in Wall Street. And they tended to stay on the East Coast. The people who came out to the Valley were many of them kind of middle class kids who came out. Funnily enough, it's kind of strange to say this now that it cost $3 million to buy a little bungalow in Palo Alto. But they came out to California because the living was easy and it was not that expensive. And you also have people like Steve Jobs, for example. You know, he's this middle class kid, lower middle class kid, who's growing up in this place and has the great advantage of being in the right place at the right time. He doesn't come from connections. He doesn't come from wealth. His public high school, however, had a computer lab in the late 60s.
Speaking of Steve Jobs, I love the anecdote of him stumping in Congress for 2 weeks, frustrated that the tax cuts he wanted weren't happening, and he was surprised by it. And I feel like it goes to show that there were just so many factors and different kinds of people that were, you know, key to making this region the tech capital of the world. You know, how aware of each other were these different players?
These different players were aware of one another, but they often didn't understand one another. I mean, this book is about Silicon Valley, but it's also about Silicon Valley, Wall Street, and Washington, you know, these three power centers and how they relate to one another. The story of Steve Jobs going and lobbying for tax breaks for computers in schools in the early 80s is such a great example. This is a guy who a couple years later admits that he had never voted in his life and says that without a speck of embarrassment. But yet he recognizes that lawmakers, both national and state, are really important, and that and he sees education and computers as a computers and education is a really important growth area for Apple, really, really important to get computers in front of kids. and he, you know, but of course he goes and he tries, you know, for a couple weeks to get this bill passed. It doesn't go anywhere because, you know, oftentimes legislation doesn't go anywhere in Congress for a host of reasons, right? Then he comes back, kind of throws up his hands and comes back. And then he comes back to California, and Jerry Brown, who then was governor, his first time as governor, who was a great ally of the tech industry, says, well, we'll do a tax break at the state level. And they did. And so it was a great boon for Apple because that meant that Apple IIs were in classrooms across California, and so the next tech generation has an Apple as their first exposure to personal computing. It was a really great move.
Margaret O'Meara is the author of The Code, out this week. Tomorrow, we'll continue our conversation with her, including how crucial immigration policy reform was to making Silicon Valley possible. And now for some related links. If Silicon Valley mega success is something you dream of, realize that living in it is a grind, and it takes its toll, even on those at the top. TechCrunch has a phone conference interview with a former successful VC investor who now coaches executives on managing their mental health. Most of the interview is behind a paywall, but the snippet that's free to read has an interesting take on ambition and its effects on leadership. Basically, fear is the mind killer, people. You can't talk about Silicon Valley without talking about how crazy expensive real estate is there, especially with big tech companies buying up and developing property. Well, those new constructions mean new property taxes for counties. Hooray, school funding! San Jose Spotlight looked at the property assessment recently released for Santa Clara County, where most big tech campuses are located. It's $516 billion. Last year, Apple opened its sprawling Apple Park office in Santa Clara. The company is appealing its tax assessment. It says the facility isn't actually worth that much on the open market, because what buyer is going to pay full value for, say, a spiral elevator down to a giant underground theater? I'm Jed Kim, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.